What is up, degenerates? Welcome to week three. I'm your host, the Dynasty Degenerate, Mr. Steven Sampson. Hopefully you are 2-0 in your leagues like I am in a few. Hopefully you're not 0-2 like I am in a lot. I am joined by my co-host tonight, Mr. Ben Steffen, Rockstar 12 on Sleeper. How are you doing tonight, Ben?
I'm doing great tonight. Ready for week three to get started tomorrow night. And yeah, some leagues I'm killing it, loving it. Some leagues I'm pretending are just rebuilds. So yeah, ready to get going.
Yeah, I completely agree. I have plenty of rebuilds that I maybe should have waited another year on a couple of them. But yeah, pulled the trigger a little too early. And we're also joined by friend of the show, return guest, Don Gatto, Mr. Diego Shaheen.
Oh, you
Diego, how
it.
You doing?
I'm good, Steve. Man, how's it going?
I've been practicing
guys?
Since you were on before, you know?
No, it's great to be here. Thanks for inviting me again. I'm happy to be here. Excited for week three as well.
No, we're happy to have you. It was a great show last time with you and Reed, so looking forward to doing this one. So we'll get into a ton more injuries. It's almost, I don't know about you guys, but I almost would rather have most of the injuries be in preseason and get only a couple during the season, not like we've had the last few weeks where we have 8, 10, 12 major injuries to major fantasy assets early in the season.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with that. I feel like the last couple of years, like you were saying, we're getting these in preseason, and those are not fun, especially if you draft early. But yeah, these first couple of weeks are a little bit injury plagued, and they have you reaching for your bench rather earlier than you want it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get a little excited about your guys making it through the preseason. You're like, oh, we're full systems go, nobody with a tag to start the year. Middle of week one, it's like six guys down. It's yeah. Like, oh, wonderful.
Week two, you're begging your commissioner to add five more IR spots so you can pick up enough guys on waivers to field the team.
Yeah, where'd those COVID IR spots go, coach?
Yeah. I hear you. So let's get into the injury report.
The injury report.
So I think the biggest injury this week, and as much of a opponent as I am to him this year, it's a big downer to see Trey Lance go down with that season-ending ankle injury. Never want to see a player get hurt like that, especially a young guy who's really trying to start his career, even though I have a ton of animosity towards him for this season. Hopefully the surgery that he has is successful and he's back on the field next year. Obviously, this brings Jimmy G back into the fold. I'm sure in the front office, they've been throwing a three-day party for keeping Jimmy and signing him to that new contract. But what do you guys think that this means for the San Francisco offense and Jimmy Garoppolo? I mean, obviously, with Trey Lance, we won't know now until next year. Hopefully, he makes a full recovery. But what do you guys think it means for what we have now?
Yeah, no, it's good for Debo. I think it's going to be good for Brandon Ayuk. It'll be good for Kittle whenever he makes it back. You're still in the same situation with running backs. Luckily, Jeff Wilson's still on his feet, but they lost another running back, and sounds like they're bringing Tevin Coleman in for work. The running back situation.
They also have Marlon Mack that they just grabbed last week and put on the practice squad. So I would imagine he's going to get promoted soon.
He was promoted today, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, tough. It's still tough, though, to navigate that running back room, even with Jimmy. But the pass-catching options definitely, I think, take a bump.
Yeah, I think so. Diego?
For the offense as a whole, I think we all know the passing will go up. The pass rate should go up. You could see the 49ers trying to play that run and try to play that dual threat. They were not really going a lot through the air. Although that Chicago game, as we all know, was played in not the best conditions. So like Ben was saying, the pass catchers, the running backs are a mess. Just a disclaimer, last time I was here, we talked about getting closure on this whole Jimmy and Lance saga. And I don't think that's happening. The injury doesn't do anything to this story. The Niners are exactly where they were at the beginning of the season, and their contract with Jimmy G is for 1 year, right?
Yeah.
So they're going to have to make another decision. Yeah, it's no closure at all. This saga extends for one more year. Very unfortunate injury, though.
I actually think that Jimmy leaves at the end of the year. Because it's just a one-year contract. I do think he ends up leaving in free agency. Because this year he couldn't because he was still under his other contract. So they would have had to trade him. Now at the end of the season, he's a free agent and he can explore. So there's always a possibility he stays there. But I do think he's probably going to leave because he knows that Trey Lance is going to have that job. But I do expect them to bring in another veteran in case Lance isn't ready early, or in case he does struggle a little bit, kind of help mentor him as well. So, but I do. So I think as far as the Jimmy Lance saga, I think that's going to end. Finally, but unfortunately, it ended this way and not with a better outcome. But we'll find out at the end of the preseason next year. So we'll move on to another, I don't know, kind of fantasy serious injury, I think. Jerry Jeudy and the SC joint sprain.
Yeah, it was deemed, at first they thought it was the ribs, but no, it ended up to be that joint sprain that they have.
Yeah.
From what I've seen.
Right shoulder.
Yeah. From what I've seen, he should be, I mean, they said he's day-to-day. Unlikely to play. I don't think he plays this week.
Maybe I don't expect a chance next week.
No, I was going to say, like you were saying, it's a bummer because it seems like Jeudy, same thing like last season, right? As soon as he's starting to pick up the pace on the offense and he's starting to play better, he goes down.
Yeah. I mean, and I do think that I think when he's on the field, that offense obviously is better, but I think it opens up, you know, Sutton to be better, Javonte Williams to be better, and Wilson and Jeudy himself to be better. So I think with him out, that does hurt the Denver offense, among other reasons why the Denver offense hurts, but we'll get into that a little bit later. Hopefully he's just out for this week. There's a possibility, though, that he could be out for 2 to 3 weeks, depending on, you know, how he's able to rest it and how that, you know, inflammation, swelling, and all that goes down. But hopefully he recovers quickly and you can get him right back in your lineups. Ben, anything on Jeudy?
No, it's just it hurts where you have him. But he's definitely seems to be an injury-prone wide receiver just with his slight frame. He's not he's not small, like short or anything like that, but he's slender, we'll say.
Yeah.
And seems to be causing him a lot of problems. But
well, he plays physical. You know what I mean? He plays bigger than he is. And that tends to get guys hurt a little bit more. I just think, like, he just landed on it wrong. This is just one of those weird things that that happens. It's unfortunate, but I don't think, like, this injury is one that you would want to tag in with an injury prone, but the past ones, I definitely think you're onto something. So
yeah, just hopefully he gets back. That's all. Yeah. Hopefully he gets back and he gets back to hopefully a better offense that picks it up a little bit, because it's been pretty disappointing.
Yeah, hopefully they can figure that out. So,
and he did not practice today. Just FYI, he did not practice today.
Yeah, no, he didn't practice. I don't expect that he practices at all this week, because I really don't think that they do anything with him to risk any type of setback with that. I think they keep it in a sling and keep him on the sidelines for at least this week, and then see where he's at probably, you know, next week, Wednesday, see where he's at with everything and maybe try to get him in some limited practices next week. So we'll move on to Justin Herbert, rib injury at the end of the game last Thursday. It's actually the same injury that Tyrod Taylor had a couple of years ago that catapulted Justin Herbert into our hearts. So this is just going to basically be a pain management issue for him. I do expect him to play. They can, you know, they can scheme or try to scheme ways to limit the amount of hits he takes. As long as it's, you know, his throwing motion isn't affected too much by it, I think that you can count on Herbert playing. What do you guys think about him and the rib injury, Diego?
I think he'll play. Interesting, like you were saying, same thing as Tyler had. The fantasy football dogs, I think they have him playing with that injection that you have to take for the pain,
yeah,
which was what dilapidated Tyrod's starter job there. But he'll play. Like you said, it's a pain management thing.
Yeah, Ben?
Yeah, I think he's going to play, but I think they might change up their game plan a little bit. Try to get Eckler the ball and the bigger backs on that team the ball a little bit more. Try to limit, especially early in the season, you don't want to put him out when you know you're probably a playoff team, potential division-winning team, and you need him later. You can't really have him in week 3, week 4, week 5, tearing something and making it worse. So I think they might limit him and limit his exposure in the passing game. But yeah, I think it'll be a bump for anybody, for Eckler probably, with more dump offs, smaller throws. Might hurt Mike Evans a bit, but
Mike Williams.
Mike Williams, same guy.
Mike Evans can't play this week, even for the Chargers. Yeah. I know, I'm
devastated. But yeah, those big throws, those big plays might be saved for moments to win the game like he tried to do last week. But I think early and often you're going to see a little bit more of the short game, more runs, stuff like that.
Yep, I would agree. So Alvin Kamara missed last week with a rib injury. It's a very similar injury to what Justin Herbert has, but obviously he takes a lot more contact. I do actually believe he's probably going to play this week, even if it's on a limited snap count. Just obviously his is going to be a pain management thing as well, but they definitely missed him last week against Tampa. and I don't really know that they can afford to miss him another week. Obviously, I don't think we're in any illusion that the Saints are going to be making a playoff push, but you know, if everything comes together, maybe they could. So I do think that they're going to want to get Kamara out there sooner rather than later. Ben, what do you think about Kamara and the Saints running game if he doesn't play again this week?
So, if he doesn't play again, you got to play Mark Ingram. He looked pretty good, even against a tough run D. He had some nice explosive-looking runs early before they got behind, but and they're playing the Panthers, who can't seem to stop the run at all.
Can't stop a nosebleed.
Yeah, can't stop anything, especially on the ground. Yeah, I like him if he plays. If he doesn't play, get Mark Ingram in there. But, yeah, obviously you got to play Kamara if he plays against a weaker run defense.
Yeah, they miss Kamara for sure. I'm going to disagree with Ben. I didn't think Ingram looked that great. I don't have his points in front of me, but just from some of the games, some of the plays I was watching, it's just the offense is not the same without him. They don't have that option. Ingram running, I mean, he'll run in the middle, but just the outside plays. I think I saw some, what's the name of the other backup? I can't remember his name. Is it Johnson, the other guy that they have there?
They got Dwayne Washington and Tony Jones.
Jones, thanks. That's the guy I was thinking about. Yeah, I thought I thought he ran better than Ingram, but he didn't get the snaps. I think he'll play, like you said. I think he was limited today. But
yeah, Kamara's working out limited all week.
And then with the Winston situation that he's playing, also pain management, they need some running game. The Tampa game was a rough game. But they're going up against the Panthers, so yeah, they won't explode the run like Ben was saying.
Yeah. So Mark Ingram played 37% of the snaps last week against Tampa. He had 10 rushes for 58 yards. 5.8 yards per carry is not bad against that defense.
It's not bad, yeah.
Yeah.
He had 2 targets, two catches for 3 yards. So, yeah, none of the running back. I mean, they had a pretty big split last week. So look at Tony Jones real quick. Tony Jones had 50% of the snaps, but he only had 2 rushes. So he was out there more to block than anything.
Mm.
I do think if Kamara doesn't play, I think you're onto something, Ben. I think you fire up Ingram. But I do expect Kamara to play, especially against a little bit softer defense right now. And even if they use him for more of the passing work and then still kind of split the rushing work between Ingram and Jones, I do think we're going to see Kamara out there a little bit. So we'll move on to Dalton Schultz, who suffered a knee injury on Sunday. I don't have a whole lot of information on that yet. I think it's
a PCL from what I heard.
I think it's a PCL strain. Nothing was torn, so there was no surgery. It's just a matter of rest. I would expect he's out 1 to 2 weeks, and maybe a third, but I think they'll get him back in by the third week. And even if it's on a limited basis, because they really can't afford to not have him in. Diego, what have you seen with Dalton Schultz's injury? And are you firing up Jake Ferguson?
I had to ask you who was there. So he's probably the waiver wire.
Obviously, you were considering it if it was somebody you recognize.
Well, you always got to look at who's there, right? But I don't know. I think the Cowboys need to do something. They need to just do a seance. They're losing people left and right just before the season started. Dak, now you have another piece going down. I maybe fire up Brown. He's been doing well. CeeDee's still getting the volume, but I've pass catchers. I would only trust CeeDee and, like I said, maybe Brown in there. That's about it. I'm not going to go and find the tight end. I mean, tight end is a mess already as it is, and try to throw someone in there, try and get a touchdown elsewhere maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, Noah Brown could be a sneaky grab. I did see a thing today on Sleeper that Dak could be back as early as week 4. Obviously, that's a very optimistic timeline for the broken thumb.
That's a Jerry Jones timeline.
Stephen Jones this time. He's rubbed off on his son. So week 4, I would say, is probably more of a fantasy, but week 5, depending on how the thumb feels, might be a possibility. Ben, what do you have for the Cowboys passing game and Dalton Schultz?
So they got a Monday nighter, so you can't risk him not playing. So you gotta pivot somewhere else if you're rocking Schultz as your lone tight end. And then as far as the rest of the passing options in Dallas go, even CeeDee Lamb, I'm struggling to love, especially with the draft capital you paid for him. But he's probably the only option. Be nice to see if they see them get Zeke involved in that passing game, but they seem to only want to do that with Tony Pollard. Seems kind of strange for a guy that was constantly in the passing game to no longer be part of it. But outside of, CeeDee, I picked up Noah Brown in a few places just to stash while Cooper Rush is playing, because Rush and him seem to have some kind of chemistry from their 2 squad days together. But probably out on the rest of the team.
Yeah, I think so, at least until Dak gets back. Mike McCarthy's a fucking tool. I'm just going to put that out there. I think most Dallas fans will agree with me. what he's doing to that offense is horrid. So, I mean, Cooper Rush didn't look terrible. Obviously, he's not great for fantasy, even in a super flex where you have to start him. But I think he would be able to support one fantasy option. But it doesn't seem to be any particular person. I don't really know why he's not looking to Lamb either. But it just seems to be like he's spreading the ball around. Don't get me wrong. But it's not good for us in fantasy. So throw it to Lamb. Okay, help us out. Throw it to Lamb.
Every
we need
time.
Him. Every passing play goes to Lamb. So, all right. James Conner went down with an ankle injury. I believe that was just a minor sprain, low ankle, I believe. Haven't seen a whole lot on that yet. But I believe he's practicing in a limited fashion this week.
Connor, no, he didn't practice today. By my notes, he didn't practice today. So you have a little warning sign there. You got to stay on top of that. See if they're going to play him or not. Still early, so maybe they do put him there in a limited fashion.
Yeah. So tonight's we're recording Wednesday night. I see he didn't practice today. If he practices limited tomorrow and limited Friday, he's going to play on Sunday. Mm. If he doesn't practice tomorrow, I would start to be a little bit concerned. if he doesn't play, Diego, who are you looking at as far as a pickup on the waiver wire or potentially starting? Are you looking at Eno Benjamin? Or are you looking at, I think Darrell Williams is hurt, right?
No, he's playing. He played their game. I think that's a good question, and it's a tough question. When Connor left the game, you could see Williams getting a little bit more run. I'd have to look at the snap percentages.
He got 46%.
Yeah, but from what I was watching on the games, he was getting more run, and that was a little bit disappointing from the Eno side. I've always thought that Eno could be that backup that you could hold there in Dynasty, and just if Connor goes down, he'll see something. He's been there for a while, but no, it seemed like they were favoring Williams on the run and even on the targets. So I think
Williams had more rushes, but Eno had more passing work.
Okay. Which makes it even worse.
When you watch the game, it looked like it was a little bit different, but so Darrell Williams had eight attempts for 59 yards and a touchdown. And I think that's the big thing was he had the touchdown. Three targets for two receptions, and Eno had eight carries for 31 yards, but he had four targets for three catches. So it was almost a 50-50 split between the two.
They play the Rams. Maybe you factor that in there. It's tough. On the waiver wire, I went after Williams in a couple of leagues, so I think I would say Williams.
Okay. Ben?
I hate this offense until DeAndre Hopkins gets back. They seem to not. Outside of Kyler Murray just deciding to play Madden run around till you figure out somebody might be open and just huck it. They didn't seem to have a whole lot going until those plays started happening.
Until he turned off his headset and just called his own plays.
Yeah, he's like, I'm just going to run around now and see what happens. Like it was kind of crazy to watch. It's exciting. But outside of owning Kyler Murray, and maybe owning Hollywood Brown. Tough offense to trust. Don't like any of the running options.
You don't like Greg Dortch?
Nope. They're not getting to the ends, like to the red zone. And when they are, it's literally just Kyler running around.
Hurts is getting some targets. You could, with the state of the tight end position, you could do worse than Hurts.
Definitely.
Yeah. But I agree with you. They're aching running to get options. Hopkins back.
Yeah. Yeah, and the running options are just awful.
Yeah, no, the running game's bad. Even Connor hasn't been great, unfortunately. And I honestly, I think that's more a product of Cliff Kingsbury than it is anything with Kyler. I don't think really Kyler has changed his approach other than Hopkins isn't there. So, I mean, Marquise Brown had 6 targets week 1, 11 targets week 2. He's playing over 90% of the snaps. Ertz had 4 targets in week 1. They said they wanted to get him more involved. So he had 11 targets in week 2. So they did that. I mean, AJ Green had 7 targets. Most of those were, you know, deeper shots. But, and then Greg Dortch had 4 targets for 55 and a touchdown. So I think Dortch is a nice grab but he's probably not out there anymore. But he's going to be a flex play, and you're hoping for that one long pass with a touchdown. But I agree, until they can figure this offense out, that right now Kyler's probably the only one you want to have. And if you got to flex one of the other guys because you're in trouble with injuries, it would probably, to me, be Hollywood as a wide receiver. But I think where you probably drafted Ertz late, you can still start him with some confidence, because I do believe he's still going to get some targets. Probably more so against the Rams, because Hollywood's going to be covered by, most likely, by Ramsey. So you're probably going to be looking at the targets on the from the other guys, so that might be something to consider. So we'll move on to Keenan Allen, who's still nursing the hamstring injury. I do believe he's trending more towards playing, but more in a limited role. He did return to practice today. They consider him day to day. Ben, what do you think about Allen, and how much of a snap share do you think he's going to need to be back in your lineup this week?
So I think he plays, but I think it kind of lends itself to the same thing I said about Herbert, where the game plan might not favor the passing game as much as that offense usually relies on.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably going to see a lot more of Eckler and a lot more of the guys that are healthier while they, again, they don't want Keenan Allen to be out for the year. They want him to be back. So get him back, get him, keep him limited. Probably if you can afford to and you have another option that's going to play the whole game, I would probably look to sit Keenan Allen this week.
Yeah, I'm of the same mindset. I'm sitting Keenan Allen this week if I have any other option to put in that can get me, I would say, at least 6 points. I'll be sitting Keenan Allen just because I agree with you. I think they're going to lean more on the run game, on the short passes, and they're going to keep Allen limited. Diego?
No, just remind everyone, last time he said he would play, and then he asked us fantasy managers to play him, and he goosed us, I think. I don't know if you guys remember that game. That was awful.
Yep, he did.
Pretty sure that was the fantasy playoffs, too.
Yeah.
Pretty sure you're absolutely correct.
So I wouldn't play him either. I don't think the Chargers really need him. They should just try to get him healthy. They got enough there with Williams, Palmer, Everett, like we were saying, Ben, Eckler. They really don't need him. Just get him healthy for the next games.
Yeah. Another wide receiver in a similar position, Michael Pittman, nursing a quad injury. I do believe that he also plays, but at a limited capacity. The Colts are not, so he was limited Wednesday. He did practice. Mm-hmm. The Colts are not in the same position as the Chargers, where they have a plethora of talented wide receivers at their disposal. They have Pittman, and that's pretty much it. That was extremely apparent this week against Jacksonville, where they couldn't even get JT going. So
that was horrible to watch, man.
Yeah. Ugh,
painful. Painful.
Yeah. We'll get to that. We will get to Matt Ryan and that Colts offense. So Pittman, I do think he plays. I think it's limited. Hopefully he gets 60 to 70% of the snaps. Diego, what do you think if he doesn't play? Are you looking at any of the wide receivers in Indy for this week, or are you just going to fade the game?
No, just fade the game. You can play JT, but I don't know what they do if they don't know. Like this wide receiver core, I mean, Campbell, what is he? I mean, we've been 3 years waiting for him to become something. Nothing.
Yeah.
The rookie there, I mean, he had a chance last week, but no, this offense looks bad. It's I'll fade it. Desperation play, maybe, but I try to stay away from it. Find something else.
So Pierce was hurt last week too. He didn't play. I think the only one that has any appeal to me other than the running backs is Ashton Doolin, who had 7 targets, almost 79 yards. He looked pretty decent, but he's the only option. Literally, Campbell looks like trash. What's the kid's name? Mike Strachan or Strahan? Yeah. Strachan or something like that. I apologize for not pronouncing it correctly. 70% of the snaps, but he only had 3 targets. So I think the one catch he had was like a 22 or 23 yard catch. So he's a guy they're going to look to stretch the field with a little bit. But yeah, I think Doolin is the only one I have any interest in at all in fantasy. And that's as a flex guy, but I think you could probably flex him with some certainty this week because I don't believe he's going to draw top coverage in Kansas City. Ben?
So I think Pittman plays, and I think you can start him because I think he's going to have the volume there that you're going to see probably 8 or 9, 10 targets, which is what you want. And then Doolin is, I agree, I said it last week, I think he's still the guy you got to fire up. And he's slowly making his way into that 2 spot on that that wide receiver depth chart.
Yep. All right, so that'll bring us to the last injury. And George Brittle, still on the injury report with the groin. I'm probably going to regret saying this, but I think Kittle plays this week. I think with Jimmy back that he makes an effort and gets back out on the field. I know you have more ownership, I think, than either me or Diego. Ben, what do you think about Kittle?
Yeah, sure. So with George Kittle, I only have, I think, maybe 4 shares in all of my leagues. That's across 31 leagues this year. It's ridiculous. But I've made sure I had secondary options with Kittle. I still think he's not back this week. I still think he got another week, one more. Then he's back week 5 before the buys start. And when he is back, you fire him up because Jimmy G loves him. But until he's back, or until you know, even that first week, you got to kind of keep an eye on it. Yeah, he ain't playing this week. So try to trade for him if you can to buy low and then hold. Diego, what do you think?
He's always injured. He's so frustrating to own. And we were talking about it being a late game, I believe, that they have this week.
It is, yeah. He plays 8:20. They play against Denver.
So even if you think he's going to play, you need to have another option there just in case. But that would be the Monday game, right? And I don't think he plays. I think he sits another game and then comes back. But I just with the Niners and their whatever you see from Twitter and what's out there, you can't just really bank on that. I just don't think he plays. And the options are really there. I think the other guy they have there is a Croft, but he's also injured. So maybe that's your option. If you can get him from waivers, and if Kittle doesn't play, then you can fire him up.
So I'm on the side that believes that Kittle will play this week. He was close last week. I mean, obviously you can't believe anything that Shanahan says, but he was close to playing last week, we believe, and he's limited in practice again today, which I would expect. Kittle doesn't need to go out and run practice at full speed. Obviously, if he does play, he hasn't played yet this year, so he's going to be a little rusty, but with the lacking defense that Denver currently has, I think that even an 80 or 90% Kittle will be able to eat them up with Jimmy. So if he plays, I'm starting him, and I do expect him to play this week. But I would be looking at the Monday game as an alternative, or even picking up Allo on waivers because he most likely there because he hasn't really done a whole lot. Just as an option.
I think if you're starting Kittle this week, you're probably in an 0-2 hole, and you need to.
Like you need the upside. Home
run. Yeah, you need a home run if he plays.
Mm-hmm.
Like the places I have him, I have had backup options that have been serviceable, like Logan Thomas, for example. He's been fine in the tight end landscape this year to get me through weeks and keep me above board. So I'm not sure I'd run him out there with the potential of a 0 or like a 3. I'd rather keep those guys that are getting me my 7 or 8 to 12 points. Yeah, it's tough. Like my league where I'm looking at potentially a run in the EDL, like I'm going to be probably not playing him this week, even if he suits up. I can't wait. So I'll be waiting on probably Hurst this week. Instead of waiting on Kittle and potentially getting a 0.
So I'm looking at the Monday game to try to give options, but it's Cowboys and Giants. So we already talked about Schultz being out. So
yeah, I mean, honestly, I don't even know who the tight end is for the Giants this year. So that you don't really have an option on Monday night. So Allo's not there.
It's Bellinger for the Giants.
Yeah. So if Allo's actually, I think Bellinger's actually had a few targets, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think. But you're.
We're not doing it. I'm not. We're not doing it.
Okay, just say deep league, deep league. You can try that, but
yeah. So if you need a win, monitor Kittle closely, and you'll know. I expect that you'll know Sunday morning whether he's trending in that direction. Like if he practices limited all week, I think he plays. If he gets in a full practice, maybe tomorrow or Friday, then he definitely is going
to
play.
Oh, yeah, that'd be nice. So that gives you at least some confidence to keep him there and play.
Yeah, I can't in good conscience tell anybody to start Ferguson or Bellinger. No. So even Allo, I'm struggling with because he hasn't. For whatever reason, Russ is not targeting him. Like the first week, they had all those tight ends that they ran out there, and
the problem is that they're rotating three tight ends. That's really the problem. So there's not enough snaps for him. And
well, like week one, he had six targets. I liked six targets and 30 or 40 yards. Last week, he had two targets for no catches. So, but I mean that it was also a very bad, called game for the offense. So. If Al's there, because I'm sure he probably got dropped this week on waivers for people to pick up the new hot thing that's on the market, you might try grabbing him if you're brave and give that a shot.
No, the other option is what I was saying. I mean, you could do Ross Dwelly there for San Francisco and have both guys for San Francisco, and one doesn't play, then you just fire up the other one. If you have, it really depends on how your bench looks, right? But that's another option you have there.
Well, and I do think with Jimmy back, that Dwelly will get more targets than he did with Lance, so.
Remember, tight end it's just a matter of getting a touchdown and you're in.
Yeah, absolutely. So that will move us on from the injuries. Whew. One more week done. Hopefully this week is kind to us on the injury front and this list gets a little bit smaller. So before we get into our next segment, we are going to talk about the new public enemy number one for the Degenerate Show, and that is Nathaniel Hackett, the head coach of the Denver Broncos. So Jalen Hurts, I've hated you for a year, a little bit more. You finally moved off that top podium into the number two spot. Kudos to you. Probably get back there very soon, but for now, enjoy being out of my spotlight. So Hackett, I don't know if you guys watched that Denver game, but it's fucking atrocious. Looking at what he's done in 2 weeks with this offense, and I mean, there's people that were saying that Russell Wilson is kind of washed, but I don't believe that. You have extremely talented wide receivers. You have an extremely talented defense. You have a what we believe to be a pretty talented tight end. You have excellent running back. The line's not bad. And you go. Honestly, when I was watching this game, I thought I was watching like my kids play Madden when they were, you know, 8, 10 years old with the play calling. It was so bad. I had to make myself watch the rest of the game because I watched it in the 40-minute preview on NFL Plus. So it's like, I felt like calling the guy and say, hey, listen, why don't you call Kyler Murray and ask him for some tips on how to play Madden? Because you obviously are not good at doing what you're doing. So Hackett's a product of the Doug Marrone coaching tree, if you will. And we all know how that worked out in Jacksonville. It was another fucking shit show. So I do not expect things to get better in Denver as long as this guy is calling plays. Hopefully they figure this out soon. And can his ass. What do you guys think of Hackett and what's going on in Denver?
Yeah, it's hard to tell what exactly it is. I definitely think coaching is part of it. But I feel like we all made excuses for Russell Wilson for a few years when he wasn't doing what we thought he should be doing. He'd flash massive plays or massive games. We'd all call for more of that. And Pete Carroll would be like, nah, we're going to do it this way. And everyone wanted Russ to cook, was the line. And now, is it the same thing, or is it just this, he doesn't have it? Well, like, I don't know. It's really hard to say. Was his success buoyed by a really good running game with Marshawn Lynch and a really good defense? Or is he amazing? Like, it's really hard to tell these days. I want to believe that he's still the guy we all think he is, because he's very exciting to watch when he's doing his thing. But I, like, in two games this year with a new team, maybe that's it. It's the new team thing, new scheme, new coach. It's so hard to tell. Yeah, I'm going to hope that you're right and that we're going to be hating on Hackett until he's gone and Russ shows us that he can do something. But it's really hard to trust him in the meantime.
Well, I mean, week one, Russell Wilson had 42 attempts, only 29 completions, which isn't terrible. And that was against Seattle. Obviously, it's a team that knows him very well. He had 340 passing yards and a touchdown. No picks. He didn't have to run a lot. He only had one rushing attempt. But then we come into week two, and he's got 31 passing attempts and 14 completions. Now, I would agree with you to a point that maybe a little bit of it was Russ, but Russell Wilson's a much more accurate quarterback than 50%. Even on a bad day. So Houston's defense is not that good. Obviously, they're better than people expected them to be, but they're still not that good. So 219 yards is not Russell Wilson. You know what I mean? There's something else at play here. Even Javonte Williams had a bad game. I think Cortland Sutton was the only one that had a decent game against Houston. So
no, it's. Let me add to that. I think it's mostly coaching, and yeah. The reason why I think you look at the games and all these delay of games and can't get the plays in, I think they're 0-for-5 on goal to go on plays. Like, everything they've scored on touchdowns is outside the 20. They can't get the plays in. They keep getting penalties, getting pushed back. It's just mismanagement. The game where they decided to just drain the clock to try to, what was it? Was it a 63-yard field goal that they were trying to get on that plane to win that game, even though the kicker had never or had done like one of those in his career? It's just the decisions were just awful. And I mean, you can have great talented players, but you can't put them in positions like the ones that they've been put or lose opportunities because you're just mismanaging what you're doing on the field. So I think a lot of it is coaching.
Yeah. One of the Denver beat writers called the offense and the coaching a hot mess. So I think that kind of describes the way that we all feel about it. And we'll move on and see what happens this week. But Degenerates, I think you can expect us to revisit this multiple times throughout the season. I don't think Hurts is getting his spot back anytime soon. So we will move on to some of our players that we're now 2 weeks in. You drafted guys. You're expecting big games, big numbers. Week one didn't work out. Now we're into week two. It still hasn't worked out. Are you ready for, are you ready to panic? So we're going to move into our panic segment now on some of the players that we have that we were expecting a little bit more on. All right. So the first player, I'm going to leave this go for a couple guys because we need alerts. Derrick Henry. Ben, are you concerned about Derrick Henry and the obvious lack of yards and really anything with the offense the last 2 weeks?
Their offense has looked awful all around. Burks has flashed a little bit, but Henry, like, I think it was week one, he got bodied by a guy coming through the box, which I don't think I've ever seen happen to Derrick Henry before. Hoping it's just this offense trying to figure it out early in the season. But definitely, I'd say I'm at like a 5.
So Henry's had week one, he had 68% of the snaps, 21 rushes, 82 yards, which was
they might he might reasonable. Be still he might be still feeling some of that foot, but yeah, hopefully he gets back because he's special to watch.
Yeah, Diego,
1 to 10. I think Ben said 5. I'm halfway there. Not really concerned. They have a nice schedule coming up. We should let them get up there straight. I think the offensive line is really struggling. The offense doesn't click. They're missing their wide receiver. They're trying to figure it out. But remember, with Henry, you still have volume. It's not easy to get those running backs with the volume. So I think his yards per carry around 3.1, which is not Henry-esque. But I think better days are ahead just because of the schedule.
So they play Vegas next, which I agree. This should be a telltale week for Derrick Henry. Then they play Indy. And if Leonard's back, I don't look for a big game from him there. He might break a runaway, which once in a while he does. But and then Washington, who's looked fantastic on defense. So then they go into the bye week. Personally, I'm off of Henry. I kind of was early in the season anyways. After the injury, I think he's at that age cliff where the decline starts. But I think I'm selling right now, and I see what the next few weeks is. But it could be. I will acknowledge it could be a mistake. He could bust out. He may want to wait another week or two. But if he can't have a good game against Vegas, it may be too late to sell it. So that's kind of the risk you may run with that. So we'll move on to Josh Jacobs and the Las Vegas Raiders. I'm not going to lie, I'm a little concerned with Jacobs. Obviously, he didn't pay a big price for him, but I did expect him to be a little bit more involved in the offense on the passing side. You basically drafted him to be your flex option, and he's putting up close to 10 points, which is really what you could ask for, but he's only averaging around 4.3 yards per carry. And he's not getting the passing down work, which is what's concerning more to me than anything. I figure with McDaniel's offense that a guy like Jacobs, who has excellent hands, is a young guy, that he would be more involved in the passing game. So I'm a little bit concerned. I'm not selling yet because I did pay a little bit lower price and he is only a flex guy for me. But they've got Tennessee, Denver, and Kansas City coming up. So I think by their week 6 bye, I need a little bit more out of them. I need one bigger game, 15 points or something, and the others to be a little bit higher than what they've been. Diego?
Him I am concerned about. Like you said, there's no passing game for him. It's weird. They didn't take that fifth-year option. I think you and I talked about that before. Yeah. It's not their guy. So I am concerned. Like you said, no passing. And then what do you got? It really depends on where you got him. If we're talking redraft, like you were saying, what was your cost? Because if you can keep him for a flex, I think he's going to be an RB2, RB3. You can look at him that way, and you're fine. You can keep him. If you paid more than that, then you're in trouble. And if it's dynasty, then I think you should have sold last year, quite frankly. That's at least how I see Jacobs. I would put him in a 7 for my concern level.
He's such a tough guy to peg down because you see his snap percentage and it's up in the high 60s, like his snap share. And for the guys where he's ranked around at the moment, like he's double, if not more, than everybody in that area, the amount of snaps he's getting. He's getting the carries. Like, you think he had 19 of 21 carries that the team had. He just needs that passing down work to get him into that usable spot. But that's something we've been saying coach after coach with Josh Jacobs. Like, it was, he wasn't getting the usage that everyone thought he was going to get. I do like him. His schedule softens up for a little bit, just before and after his bye week. So he might be someone that you try to trade before your league's trade deadline if he has a big game. But I don't think you can sell, and I don't think you can drop him at the moment. So worried, but monitoring. Probably like a 6 on how worried I am about him scale.
Yeah, I think 6-7 is reasonable. Like you say, you can't drop him. But if you paid, you know, if he's your RB1, if you went 0 RB and Josh Jacobs is your RB1, your wide receivers better be like Tyreek Hill, Devontae Adams. I mean, they better be guys that have spiked the first. You want a Cooper Kupp, but Devontae Adams, Tyreek Hill, and like AJ Brown as your 4 wide receivers. If you've got Josh Jacobs as your RB1, if he's your RB2, or like if he's my 3, I'm happy. Because he's performing at that level. If he gets, he's getting 1 target a game. If he can get up to 4 or 5, I really think that that makes a big difference, because now you're into the 13, 14 point range in PPR, and you can deal with that as your flex running back or your bye week guy. So hopefully with the softer schedule, they involve him a little bit more. But I would agree, I'm in the 6 to 7 range as well. So we'll move on to Chase Edmonds and the Miami plethora of running backs as well. Ben, what's your concern level with Edmonds and his involvement in that offense, with especially with Tua having such a big week this week against Baltimore?
Not super concerned about Chase Edmonds. I think he's still the one on that team, and I just think the game got out of hand. They got behind big to a really good team, and they had to air it out against a pretty average secondary. The targets to Hill and to Waddle kind of speak for that. I think it was 19 and 13, respectively. They had to bomb it. Where they got in that game, they had to, and they did. And, I'm not super concerned about Chase Edmonds. I still think he's going to get his work. As they continue to play not the Baltimore Ravens every week. This week might be one where you might get to sit them against the Bills, because they might be in another track meet. But when they're playing a little lesser teams, you can definitely fire them up. So not really concerned at all, probably like a 1 or 2.
Diego?
Can I say I'm confused? Because week 1, he was getting most of the carries. And then now week 2, you see Mostert get most of the carriers. So is it going to be a hot hand approach? Concern level, I just hold. If I can just sit back and not play him this week and kind of see things play out a little bit better, I would take that approach. If you have to put him in, you have to put him in. But it might have been like what Ben was saying. It's just game script. But then do we really know when he is going to play or not? And that's what worries me. That's where I'm confused. I don't know when he's going to play. And again, only 2 games this season, and the season's still early. Like you were saying, Steve, there's a bunch of people on that backfield. So more than concerned, it's a little bit confused. Maybe 4 in concern level.
Okay. So I'm concerned. Week 1, he had 63% of the snap share. He had 12 rushes. He got 4 targets, which is much more what I consider Chase Edmonds. So if he's getting 10 to 15 rushing attempts, then he can get 4 to 6 targets. I'm okay with that because I'm going to get the PPR points. So we got 8 points from his receiving work, and he's not efficient at all with his rushing. No. Week 1, he had like 2 yards per carry. Week 2, he got 51% of the snaps. So he's averaging 57% of the snaps in that offense, which with Ingold, with Mostert with Gaskin. You know, they have like six running backs that they roll out.
So
I'm concerned because I don't know. Yeah, Gaskin was out. But there's a couple others, and I don't remember exactly who they are.
Ahmed was in.
Salvin Ahmed. Yes, thank you. So the five touches, I agree it's probably was a little bit of game strip, but the snap percentage is more what concerns me than anything. So he's a flex guy that you drafted late. You're looking at him as an RB3 with some upside from week to week because of the PPR. So in a game that was a shootout, and this is more so why I'm concerned, he had three targets. Tua had pressure. Obviously, there was a couple of big plays to Tyreek Hill. There was a ton of targets to him and Waddle. And the running backs didn't get that much work. So that's more concerning to me than anything is that McDaniel has him looking downfield more than looking to dump off. I mean, even, Mike Gesicki had a pretty decent week with four targets and a touchdown. So I'm concerned. I'm probably more concerned than you guys because I expected a little bit more out of Edmonds early as Tua got his feet under him. So I think I'm more of a 5 to 6, whereas Diego, you're a 4, and Ben, you're more of a 1. Obviously, I'm not starting him at all this week. I'm not starting any of the running backs against Buffalo. Their front is solid.
Yeah. No, I'd hold. Like I said, I just hold the guy and see what happens. But again, it comes down to how much you paid. And even if you try to move him, if you try to trade him anywhere, even in redraft, you're not going to. How are you going to trade him?
Oh, yeah.
You
no,
have to package it with someone. So
you can't trade him. I'm more concerned with whether or not I start him for the next few weeks. You have Buffalo, Cincinnati. So week 5 against the Jets, I'd probably start him. But I don't know that I would play him unless I have to in week 4 against Cincy. I absolutely am not playing him. It's Buffalo. I'll pick something up off the waivers. Doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah, it's tough to play anyone against Buffalo.
Yeah. Obviously, you're playing Tyreek. You're playing Tua. You're playing Waddle. And you're playing Gesicki. But as far as the running backs, none of them have proved to be anything. If I had to take a shot, I might even pick up Ingold and try to throw him in case he gets a touchdown. But
to me, mess of a backfield.
To me, that's ugly right now. It can straighten itself out, but for the time being, I don't think I want any part of it. So the next guy is Zeke with the offense going the way it's going. Pollard's been getting all the passing down work. It's still been a 60-40 split, but Zeke's not. I don't think Zeke's getting enough touches. I think that's partially a product of Dak being hurt. I think more so that it's Mike McCarthy, who's a fucking moron and shouldn't even be coaching. But Diego, what do you think about Zeke and that rushing game? Are you concerned at all about Zeke?
Yes, I'm an 8 on Zeke. I'm very concerned. I just don't see right now how the team turns this around unless Dak comes back. The line is not what it used to be. His yards per carry, I think they're fine. But Pollard being there, he's taking away those catches like you were saying on half PPR, PPR really help you. I think with Zeke, you got to just maybe change your expectations. If you have him, probably an early round pick. You just got to look at him maybe as a RB2, RB3 again in that range. He's starting to look like that. And I think it's just the natural progression that what we've seen with Zeke, right? From being a top 3 pick. And just as soon as he signed his contract, it's just like things haven't really clicked or worked. So if you knew... It really comes down to how much you paid. But I have him in a couple of dynasties, and I just go in thinking of him more of as my running back 3 rather than my running back 1 or 2. Luckily, in the team I have him, I have Taylor and Aaron Jones, so that's okay. But that's kind of where I am with him. And I'm concerned. I just don't see how this offense right now picks up or is able to really push the run.
Yeah, no, I would be in pretty much complete agreement with you on that. If he's your RB2, like if you got him in the third, which is where he was going this year in redraft, you're probably still all right. He's getting 60% of the snaps. He's getting the rushing down work, but passing down work is concerning. And the longer Dak's out, I think the more it affects Zeke. Ben?
Well, I think you're full on panic mode, praying for two big weeks in a row where you can flip him, packaging him with something way better to try to get out of him. The only way that you're happy is if you somehow went running back, running back, running back, and he's your third and a flex option or something like that, that you can afford to not play him. If he's your running back one or running back two, you have to play him, just on the name and on the opportunity. But those opportunities seem to stink and seem to be shrinking. Big Zeke fan, really liked him in his heyday, and was hoping he'd be back to that. Does not seem to be the case. They don't seem to be using him that way. He looked good, I thought, in the game in week one. Like, he looked explosive again. He looked quick again. And the usage is just not there for whatever reason. They're just not running him the way they were. They're not letting him get the passing work. Scary. Like, you're probably screwed if you have him, unless you can find somebody that's going to buy the name. If you can sell him, do it.
Well, let me ask you. Yeah. Let me ask you a couple names.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, would you trade Zeke for Chase Edmonds and a wide receiver?
Yes.
Josh Jacobs.
Yes.
Okay. Would you try to trade Zeke for Michael Carter?
I'd probably try to get a piece with Michael Carter.
It would be a piece with Carter. Yes.
Then yeah.
Okay. David Montgomery.
On his own.
Just on his own, straight up. It would have to be straight up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Would you, obviously, I don't think that the Cook owner would take Zeke. You'd have to give him a fantastic wide receiver, I think. And I think the same is probably true with Henry. So, personally, I don't think there's a market for Zeke. I really think you would have to take a loss on whoever you pair him up for. Or in redraft, yeah, you could probably find the Cowboys fan if you're lucky. Like, a lot of your local leagues, unless you're in that area, you're probably not going to find one. But my Cowboys fan in my league isn't buying because it's Eric and he knows better. But it's if you can, I think, and I like Zeke, I really do. I think it's so hard. I really want to say I want to hold him because I'm probably a 6-7 on the panic level with him. But I really think if I could get a guy like Edmonds, or if I could, you know, trade down to a running back of the next tier, I think I might do it. Would you? Okay. This is a gross one. Would you trade Zeke down for CEH?
Yes.
Oh, that's gross. But I can't say that I disagree with you.
He's getting the usage now.
It's a better offense as well. That's the other thing. Yeah. The offense, remember, the Cowboys right now, they got nothing. I mean, that offense is struggling, and we don't know when they're going to get their quarterback.
The problem is I don't disagree with you. It's gross, but I don't disagree with you.
They have the Giants and they have the Commanders coming up. So those are in division games. Those are always entertaining. Like Ben said, maybe you get a couple of good games and then that brings his value up a little bit so you can actually try and do a flip. Maybe flip position. Usually you don't like doing that, but running back for wide receiver, maybe consider doing that.
It's definitely something to consider if he has a couple of decent weeks, you definitely will have a better chance to offload him. And they are division games. Like, I do think he can have a good game against the Giants if McCarthy will let him run. But you've got a top talent at a position and you're limiting him by keeping him out of, you know, he should be a 75-80% snap percent guy, not 60-40. So let's move on to Russell Wilson. We talked about it a little bit when we were talking about Hackett. I'm not overly concerned with Wilson this year. I do think it's more new offense, new coach, new scheme, the talent's there. I do think a lot of the problems have been coaching because he's been able to produce, especially in week one against Seattle. They didn't get the win, but he was able to produce at a pretty decent level for fantasy. Week two, obviously they won, but not, you know, it wasn't good for fantasy, and it was very hard to watch. So what's your concern level with Russell Wilson, Ben?
Hard to say. Like I said, I was saying before, is it him? Is it the coaching? Probably a little bit of both. Could be the new team, new scheme. Those teams, this is going to be similar for the next guy too. You kind of have to wait and see. Russ, what you paid for him, you're going to have to hold him to wait and see. So if you can find another option or you somehow can, I don't know, make that work, probably start somebody else for a while till you see it come back. Or you're seeing that team gel a bit because they don't seem to be. I'm going to say like I'm right on the 5 mark. Like I'm not sure which way I'm going to end up leading, but yeah, right in the middle. It hasn't been good. I'd rather start a lot of guys over him at the moment just on getting burned in the couple Wilson shares I have. But it's hard to do that when you're in a redraft with only one quarterback. You probably didn't take a second, and adding a second to drop a bench guy can be painful. He has no trade value in redraft right now, so you're stuck with him. Ride it out, see what happens. But I'm expecting better games. I'm hoping for better games in the mid to second half of the season.
Yeah, we talked about this before, and it's so bad right now that I think it can only get better. I think if they get some pieces back, if they get Hamler there, they can get Judy. That would help. I'm not concerned. I think Russ can deliver. If as a team, the offense cleans it up, the coaching cleans it up, they should be able to convert some of those chances that they haven't been able to, and it'll just clean itself up. But kind of wait and see approach.
Yeah. No, I would agree. So funny story on Russell Wilson. In one of the leagues I'm in with Ben, Sunday morning I got an offer from friend of the show and podcast guest Levi it's a Superflex league, and so he's sending me Russell Wilson, Chris Godwin for Joe Burrow. So I'm like, I really want Chris Godwin on this squad. What do I do? So I started thinking about it, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to take this, and then I'm going to see if Luke's interested in Russell Wilson because he's got Tua. And I like Tua as my second quarterback. I have Mahomes as my number one. So why not? So I do the trade with Depremier, with Levi, and so then I reach out to Luke. I'm like, hey, you interested in Wilson? So he's like, yeah. I was trying to get him from Levi, and so I'm like, well, all right, well, what are we looking at? He's like, well, I was gonna do Tua and another piece, and I'm like, well, I'm interested in Pierce and Renfro and Freiermuth, but I already had Schultz. And I'm pretty good with wide receiver now. I just got Godwin. So I'm like, you know what? I'll take Pierce. Well, hindsight, I should have taken Freiermuth. But so I got Tua. And I was playing Luke at the same time. So Tua went off against the guy I traded him to, and Russell Wilson had like 6 points. So needless to say, the trade worked out well in my favor. But it was funny the way it worked out, and then to have Tua go off and have his breakout career game against the guy that sent them to me. So I think overall, I think I got pretty good value for Burrow. And I don't think anybody got a bad end of the trade, but it was just funny the way that it worked out. So
the funny part about that is if you'd waited till after Sunday, you would have been the one sending probably a part with,
oh yeah, absolutely,
with Wilson for Tua, which is it's just funny the way the fantasy world works.
Yep. Yes, it is. So you're 100% correct too, because I would have had to pay to get rid of Wilson at that point.
Yep.
So, speaking of bad quarterback play, let's move on to our next guy for concern, Ben, Baker Mayfield, and your Carolina Panthers. I'm gonna lump him in with DJ Moore because I think one goes hand in hand with the other.
Yeah, you could probably throw McCaffrey on this list too, to be honest.
I think so.
The way they're scheming the games, the way, I don't know, they're not passing the ball, the quick three and outs. Baker's been pretty good at protecting the ball, not throwing it away, which is nice to see. But I don't know if it's him, if it's the play calling with the new offense, with him getting – limited work in camp in this stupid quarterback battle that we had, which makes no sense. He should have been getting everything from the moment he got there. Those things combined are hurting DJ Moore. They're hurting McCaffrey, who actually I think they might be protecting a little bit. So you might not see CMC with the volume he used to have, which hurts the team all around, because the opportunity for other guys to go down when they're not on the field as much, because CMC keeps moving the sticks. It was nice to see DJ get in the end zone. Saved his week a little bit. I think you got to keep starting him because he's really the only wide receiver one on the team. Baker, you can cut in most like one quarterback redraft leagues. You don't need to have him if you drafted him. There's better options out there for now. And as a Panthers fan, I'm praying it picks up in the second half of the season as he gets more familiar. And that the targets for DJ go up, because he's a 1,300 yard guy 2 years in a row, something like that. Every season he's been in the league, I think, other than his rookie year, he's at 1,000. He'll still get those yards. I just hope they come a little more consistently. And Baker probably out on altogether until you see something.
I think Panthers fans are starting to see what Browns fans got to see the last couple of years. I think it's Baker. It's Baker's the issue. And I mean, am I concerned about Baker? I just don't really see that much of an upgrade from what the Panthers had, really. It's a bit frustrating, but when Baker came out, I was on board. And then I keep saying this, I watched a lot of his games with the Browns, and it's just, he keeps making bad decisions and bad throws. I think he's managed to keep it together with the Panthers, at least. You don't see some of those bonkers plays that he just completely had the ball sail. From a fantasy standpoint, I mean, like Ben said, it's not someone that you're going to play in one quarterback leagues unless you have to super flex. I'm being forced to play him because of a Lance injury somewhere else. But I just, as a whole, the offense is still kind of getting figured out. And DJ, I am concerned about. He has such a talent and you just can't get him the ball. I don't get it. I honestly don't understand what it is there. From fantasy on DJ, I think you can move him. He has name value, and I think he has a market. So maybe you may want to explore that. I just don't see how this offense picks up. I was hoping that with CMC there, it would be a lot better for DJ, and not seeing it yet. Maybe it's a little bit too early, two games. Ben's closer to that because that's the team of his affections. But Baker, you can cut, and TJ, I would try to figure out if you can move him.
I hate that it took me 2 years to get him from you. And then he absolutely lays me an egg in his first 2 weeks.
The truth, Ben, is that we traded for the same player. And for the listeners, that trade included the wide receivers that moved there were F1, were McLaurin and DJ. And it's kind of, don't worry, I took your frustration and you took mine, so it's an even trade.
Don't worry, we're also going to talk about McLaurin here in a second, so we'll get to see the other side of the trade and why it didn't matter. So Baker, nobody's going to escape me with the fucking 50% accuracy rate. So Baker, this is the worst he's been in his career as far as accuracy. I mean, 2019 was not a great year for him, but he had almost 4,000 yards. He's 30 of 56. I honestly don't know that this is completely Baker. I think this is a good part Matt Rhule. And I do think that Baker can, because I mean, they've been in the games. And he's not making the bad decisions that he was making in Cleveland. It's tough. Obviously, I'm not holding on to him in redraft. If I have him in Dynasty, I hate myself for having to start him, like you say. But I'm going to keep him and hope it gets better. I do think it will. DJ Moore, on the other hand, so his games are identical. 6 targets, 3 receptions, 43 yards, 7.17 yards per throw, and 14.33 yards per catch. Both games. The only difference is he had a touchdown against the Giants. This is a number one receiver on a team. This is a guy you drafted high because of volume. So I'm concerned. 3 catches for 43 yards is not something I'm looking for out of a guy I drafted to be my wide receiver 1 or 2, considering that a lot of the guys that went shortly after him are severely outperforming him so far. That being said, week 3, he's going to get Lattimore. So I don't – actually, is Lattimore suspended?
No, it was just Evans.
Only Evans. Okay.
That's what I thought.
It was only the guy that stepped out of the field to take a swipe at the other guy.
Yeah, because he wasn't involved in the play, so he came off the sideline.
Yeah.
But then you got Arizona, San Francisco, the Rams, Tampa Bay. So DJ Moore doesn't get an easier schedule until week 8, where he gets Atlanta, Cincinnati, Atlanta, Baltimore, and then Denver before the bye. So I do think that he is a buy low candidate over the next few weeks, because I think the price is just going to go down over the next 2 or 3 weeks. And he's a guy I do want to have. So I think if I have him, I'm going to hold him. I'm not starting him. I got to flex him, I will. But I do want him later in the season. I want him for the fantasy playoffs. I mean, the playoffs, you got Seattle, Pittsburgh, and Detroit. And then Tampa in week 17. But I think if I can get to the championship, I can find somebody else to start. By then, maybe the offense is decent and I can start more against Tampa. But so he's a guy I am concerned for right now. I'm not going to start him, but I am going to target him as far as people that are trying to get rid of him. If I can get him for a pretty decent price, I will, to hold on to for the second half of the season.
I think it also kind of need to look at who they played. Like, they played 2 teams with okay offenses, like not great, so our defense kind of held them down. And
yeah, but they were behind in both games. I mean,
not a lot though. Like, they weren't track meted out of it, they were never game scripted out of it, and their defense held them in, we were the only team without a turnover from our defense too. But I feel like Rhule's playing so safe trying to keep his job that they're not throwing it around. They're not taking a lot of deep shots. They're not doing much other than just trying to move the sticks a little bit. Like, it's the NFL. You got to air it out. You got to get your You need those big plays. You need your guys that are your guys to make you plays. And I don't know if they're just, if it's Rule trying to hold on to it, what he's got left, trying to not, like, playing to not lose.
I think that's exactly what it is. Playing to, yeah, not, he's lose.
Playing to not lose, and they're not throwing the ball. The play calls are strange. Like, we had a 4th and 4 or 4th and 5 around, like, our own 40 with like 3 minutes left, and we punted. I was like, what? I don't know. Yeah. It just seemed like, instead of, like, get the ball into his hands, like, let him try to do something. He's a great run after the catch wide receiver. And they have the best weapon in football in Christian McCaffrey. Like, use him. I just don't get it. But yeah. Yeah, it's just hard to say. Like, I think if we get crushed this week, Rule might be done, which would be good, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I would agree. I think he's outstayed his welcome in Carolina. So we'll move on to another bad team in Chicago. Is there any player on the Chicago Bears offense that you want on your team at this point other than David Montgomery? Like Mooney, Fields, Komet?
No.
Diego?
No.
Drop. Nothing in redraft. I mean, there's nothing there. You got to wait for there's no volume. I think 11 passes the last game. They lead the NFL in least amount of passes thrown. So none of the pass catchers, like the offense, I just don't know how. Honestly, you're going to hold any of these guys, they're just going to clog your roster because you can't play them. You can't play Mooney, Komet, you can't play. There's no one else there.
So let me ask you this. What do you do with Mooney? Are you going to drop him? Because obviously what you drafted him at is like a 5th or 6th round pick, right? Now, the answer is, should you drop him? The answer is yes.
The answer
is,
are you
going to drop him? Is the other, well, you know, is the real question.
I mean, redraft, you obviously, before you drop a player, you try to trade him, even at a loss. And then if not, then you just got to cut your losses. And because this guy is not even producing what someone in the waiver wire is, you could have dropped him for Sterling Shepard, who looks a lot better than Mooney right now.
That is a tough call to make.
It is.
But look, but it is. But it's because it's driven by name. But like, look at the stats. Look at the volume.
No, you're 100% right. It's just that, you know, trying to swallow that Sterling Shepard is actually outperforming the wide receiver one on a team is crazy. But it's 100% true. Ben, what do you have for Chicago? Anything different?
I'd love to be able to say, like, yeah, keep Justin Fields. He's going to explode. That rushing floor, hold him up. Or keep Mooney. Like, the guy who was killing it last year had a lot of targets with the same quarterback. Like, but it just, I don't know. It's impossible to say that after he's the 33rd. He's 33rd out of 32 teams. He's 33rd.
Yeah, that means Trey Lance
had more.
And Jimmy Garoppolo are both
have
higher
more than him. Both have more passing attempts. That's crazy. Like, it's hard to say that that's going to be the case all year and they're not going to pass it more. But I haven't seen anything to say that that's not exactly what it's going to be. 11 in a game you were never winning or never close to in doesn't make any sense to me. But I guess, like, they're 3 and outing. The all game, so they're not passing
at
all.
That's the key. They don't want to win. You just nailed it, man. They have no desire to win. They want the 1-on-1. That's really what it comes down to. Because,
but yeah, like, you already have your quarterback. Why do you want the 1-on-1? Other than to trade it for more picks, but like, I mean, they're losing with elegance. You know what I mean? They're not making it evident that they're. And I'm using big fucking air quotes here. That they're tanking for, you know, I don't know what's going to be the saying this year. It was tanking for Tua a couple of years ago, and then tanking for T-Law.
Yeah, so I remember when Miami was suck for luck.
So we're out on Chicago. Try to trade Mooney if you can get anything. Try anything at this point. for somebody that might believe in him coming back. Keep Montgomery. You can still flex him. So we'll move on to Terry McLaurin. And honestly, with McLaurin, I'm not that concerned. I mean, he's out there 89-90% of the snaps. The targets, I would like to see a few more. Like week one, he had 4. Week two, he had 8 targets. But he's still putting up over 10 points. Obviously, you draft him a little higher, but he's getting deep targets. So, you know, week one, his yards per catch was 29 yards, and he had a touchdown. Week two, yards per catch was 18.75. So, he's getting deeper throws. I don't think they're using him right. I think they need to use him more on shorter yard passes too. But I'm not as concerned with him. I'm probably a 6 with McLaurin, maybe a 5. I'm still going to wait and see because I think, you know, you got Philly coming up, which is a division game. You got Dallas coming up, which is a division game. Then you have Tennessee, Chicago, and Green Bay. So I think you really have 4 or 5 games where he should have good matchups against corners and could, you know, have a big 20-point game. But I think he still stays in the 12 to 15 range, which is still flexible. So, Ben?
I think where Terry kind of fell in drafts, like you're not as disappointed with him as you could be. Or as you would have been last year. It's hard to say that they should use him more in the short yardage game when they already have 2 guys that basically fill those roles with Samuel and Dotson, and they both seem to be getting a lot of short yard passes, and they're using Gibson a lot more in the passing game too. I like Terry. I want to see him do well. Sold a lot of shares of him in the offseason with the question marks at quarterback, but definitely, like, not super.
You can't
worried.
Complain about what Wentz is doing the first 2 weeks.
No, you can't. I think they're going to be down a lot, so they're going to be airing it out. The defense does not look like it was even 2 years ago. Yeah, not super concerned. I probably had like a 3 or 4 on the concern scale with Terry. I'm not trying to trade him anywhere. Keep plugging him in the fluxes in your lineups, and he'll get you some big games in there, and he'll be kind of have a steady like 8 or 9 floor probably for you.
Okay, Diego,
I'm not concerned. I'm disappointed. No, okay.
disappointed dad face is fine.
it's like I was saying, McLaurin is like a DJ Moore clone when you look at his stats now. He already has a touchdown. He's not a big touchdown guy. Looking at his last season, I think it was 5, maybe. The season before that, also 5, maybe 4. What's interesting is Dotson's been getting a lot more touchdowns, so it seems that they're looking for him more in those plays. I'm not concerned. Wentz, like you were saying, there's a lot of volume here. Maybe it is a little bit of a scenario with too many mouths to feed. Because Logan Thomas is also back and he's taking some targets. Like to see the targets go up a little bit. I mean, 7, 8, that's fine. Like to see him more around the 10. But he's going to have a 1,000-yard season. That's what I expect of him. He just doesn't have that boom that you want on your wide receivers, like a wide receiver 1. So that's where I'm disappointed. But just got to, like Ben said, just keep putting him out there.
So my thing with Terry is, like, the last 2 years, he's had 130 targets. He has had 2,000-yard seasons, which is – and if you average it, he's over 3,000 yards in his first 3 seasons. So average, you know, yards per catch on average was right around 14.2-ish. Like you say, the touchdowns are limited. 5 is probably the average. And I'm okay with that because he makes, you know, he's getting it on the volume, the targets. But we were in 2 games, he's at 12 targets. I'm not impressed. So that definitely has to pick up. I think the yards per catch has to go down a little bit. I think he needs to get around the 15 range and get more targets to be a little bit more effective in the fantasy window. and I think we'll all feel better. I mean, he's still the wide receiver 20 right now, but I don't think you're trading him. I don't know that you feel comfortable trading for him because I don't know that there's a really high ceiling. I think he's more of a floor play from week to week.
You just need a little bit more targets so you can break that 100 target barrier.
Yeah, he definitely has to break that 100 target barrier, I think, to be really what we kind of drafted him for. So that's going to wrap up the show for tonight. It's a little bit long. I apologize, but we're only doing the one episode a week. There's a lot of stuff to cover in one episode, so do apologize for that, but hope you enjoy everything we had here. Diego, you have anything, parting words for the listeners for the leagues that we're in?
No, just as you know, if you want to talk about fantasy football, don't got to at Sleeper. Good luck, and as always, don't forget to set your lineups, and thanks for the invite again.
Yeah, no problem. We're happy to have you. Ben?
Yeah, Diego, thanks. Thanks for joining us. It's always nice to put a voice to the screen name out there. Don't forget that offer I made you for EDL to sit whoever you like the week we play. go to town. We'll update everybody on how that works out. Follow me on Twitter, DaydreamingFF, and send us some questions to the email.
Oh, that reminds me. So we did actually get a question last week, Connor. I apologize. I completely forgot about it last week, and then I saw it again this week. But your question about Dallas, I think we did kind of answer when we were going through the players. But I think you can. I think you already know what to do with the Cowboys. So I want to thank everybody for listening. And like Ben said, you got a question for the show. DDFantasyFootball@gmail.com. Send us an email. I will check it. We will get it on the show. Our Facebook page, www.daydreamingdegenerates.com for the website. Daydreaming Degenerates Fantasy Football Podcast on Facebook. Or you can get me in Sleeper at Solinator. Thank you again for listening, and we hope you guys enjoy the show. And good night.